Let's go to the book of James here this morning. We are going to go to just one verse here today. James chapter 5, and we are closing in on the end of this book, and we will start another book when this one is over. James chapter 5, I am just going to read verse number 12. I will have that verse up here on the screen. This is from my New American Standard Bible translation. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Again, just one quick verse. James chapter 5, verse 12. James, the half-brother of Jesus, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath. But your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that you may not fall into judgment. And we'll stop there. Let's go to God in a time of prayer. Lord, just one easy, simple verse, but there's a lot there that we can learn. So what is it today, Lord, that you're going to have us learn? What kind of new truths are you going to reveal to us that we need to learn and understand from James chapter 5, verse 12? We know that you will affect us in this way, Lord, and that you will reveal what it is that we need to know. To you be the glory, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we can continue here in this expository study of the book of James, and this is our 27th week in this book, and I've titled today's message, Any Other Oath, three words that James uses in verse number 12 of chapter 5. If this verse that I just read, and we just read together from the book of James, sounds familiar, it's because his older half-brother, Jesus, use similar words in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. I'm going to put those verses up here, and there's a lot of reading, but I think we need to read this because we want to understand what Jesus is saying. Again, this is from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Jesus says this, "Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil." We can see the similarities, what Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount here, to getting back to James chapter 5, verse number 12. It's almost word for word. We can see the similarities here between the two. And I'm convinced that James, a younger brother of Jesus, did learn a lot from his older brother Jesus. And maybe even James was there at the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know. The words are almost identical. But let's talk about the topic at hand. Let's talk about swearing and taking oaths, because that is really the context of this verse right here. I'm going to put that same verse back up here, just with a few words underlined here. He says this, "But above all, my brethren," there must be something very important about this swearing and about taking oaths that he wants us to learn, because he says this, "Above all, my brethren," as if it's of the greatest importance. But if we look back at the first couple verses, the first couple chapters of the book of James, all the words that he's spoken, all the commands that he has given us, he's talked to us about trials. He's talked to us about faith. He's talked to us about taming the tongue. He's talked to us about quarrels and conflicts. Out of all those things that we've already covered and learned, he says this, but above all, my brethren. And he concludes by saying that, so that you may not fall under judgment. Must be something very important about swearing and taking oaths. So let's take a deeper look at this topic of swearing and oath taking and exactly what it meant back then, 2,000 years ago in the time of James, and what it means to us here today. And let's begin this study by looking at the third commandment. Now, if anybody ever asks you, where can I find the commandments? The answer is Exodus chapter what? Right, 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Verses 1 through 17 are the Ten Commandments as given by God to Moses. We're going to look at the third commandment here today at Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7. The third commandment is this. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. There may be many things that we could list that are direct violations of this third commandment here. And this morning, let's focus on taking the name of the Lord your God in vain and how that relates to swearing and how that relates to taking oaths. One definition of the word swearing that we use today is when we say somebody's swearing, they are using bad words. They are using dirty words. They are using, we would say that that person has a potty mouth, or that person cusses like a sailor. We would say all those things, and we know all those words. And we fall in, these words fall into this category that we have already defined as four-letter words, or bad words, or as my father used to call them, Mike, quit using those swear words. He used to call them swear words. And yes, we are commanded to be careful of the words that we speak. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4 say this, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Here we go. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. But what Paul is writing here is not the third commandment. And it's not what Jesus or James is referring to about speaking about bad words or dirty words. That is not what he means by swearing. So let's take another look at the word swearing. Have you ever heard somebody say something like this? I swear I did not eat that last piece of fried chicken. Or this, I swear on the Bible, I did not eat that last piece of fried chicken. In the biblical sense, swearing is a part of making and taking oaths and vows. So they're going to be all linked together. Swearing, oaths, vows, they're all one and the same. It is common for people, both today and in the time of the Israelites, to take oaths, to make vows, and to swear. And again, when we talk about swearing, we are not talking about dirty words. And it was not uncommon for an Israelite to swear an oath invoking the name of God. Actually, it was a command to do so. Deuteronomy 6:13. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. So the Israelite man or the Israelite woman, the Israelite child, when taking an oath, was to take an oath in the name of God. Why would they be commanded to do such a thing? Answer, because swearing an oath and invoking the name of God would bring credibility and honesty to that person who is swearing that oath. After all, one would not dare lie if one swore by the name of God, would one? There's a very interesting story in Joshua chapter 9. The Israelites had been driving out all the people in the promised land. Remember, they crossed the River Jordan. But there was a tribe of people, a Canaanite tribe of people that were still there, and they were called the Gibeonites. And they were still living within Israelite territory. So Joshua swears an oath to make peace with these people, these Gibeonites, and he swore not to kill them. He says this in Joshua 9:15. Joshua made peace with them, the Gibeonites, and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. So Joshua swears an oath to these people. But then we find out, if we continue reading in Joshua chapter 9, that the Gibeonites, they lied to Joshua and all of the leaders. Well, the Israelite congregation didn't like this. And the Israelite congregation wanted to kill the Gibeonites. Well, here's how Joshua and the Israelite leaders responded. But all the leaders said to the whole congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we cannot touch them. This we will do to them, even let them live, so that wrath will not be upon us for the oath which we swore to them." Joshua was not about to break the oath that he swore in God's name. Why? Because he knew the third commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7. "For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." Because the third commandment says the Lord will not leave him unpunished. And breaking an oath, if Joshua would break that oath, he would be punished by God in some way that I don't know what that would be. But on the other hand, one would not be taking God's name in vain as long as one kept one's oath. And Joshua wanted to make sure that he kept the oath that he swore to these people, because he swore that oath in the name of God. Since the words of James in that one little verse, verse 12, are so similar to the words of Jesus, I'm just going to put the words of Jesus back up here again. So just, we have that here as a reference. We must remember that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, again in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, was a call for people to understand the true meaning of the Mosaic Law, and to encourage the religious leaders of that time, and everyone else including us, to quit being so self-righteous and to obey the commandments. In these five verses here, Jesus tells the people, hey, don't even make an oath. Why would he even say that? Because just like every other part of the law, the religious leaders managed to corrupt the practice of swearing oaths too. They always seemed to find a way around the word of God. How did they do that? This is where it gets rather interesting. The religious leaders knew the third commandment, and they knew that if they made an oath in the name of God, that they could be under judgment. So what did they do? If they would swear an oath by something else, something other than the name of God, then they could break that oath easily without any repercussions. I didn't make this oath in the name of God. I made the oath in the name of something else. And that is exactly what they were doing. But what does Jesus say? Got a couple words bold and underlined here. Don't make an oath, what? Either by heaven. Don't make an oath by the earth. Don't make an oath by Jerusalem. And don't make an oath by the hairs on your head. Jerusalem, as Jesus says, is the city of the great king. Heaven is God's throne, is where God's throne is at. The earth is God's footstool. Regardless of what you swear by, religious leaders, you are still swearing by God. And if you break that oath that you swore, that you have just violated the third commandment, and you are under God's judgment, regardless if you swore that oath by heaven or by earth or by Jerusalem or by the hairs on your head, because God even makes those things grow too. So what's the solution? Jesus and James gives the exact same solution. It's our verse for today. Let your yes be a yes, and let your no be a no. Don't make oaths. Don't swear. Don't put your hand on a Bible and say, I swore I didn't eat that last piece of fried chicken. God knows human beings, and he knows human beings are very good at lying, which is the ninth commandment. And human beings have a very difficult time keeping the oaths that they said that they swore that they would keep. How many couples swore before God and a church full of witnesses that they would stay married until death do us part? But they end up getting divorced. Certainly not the unforgivable sin. How many people get on a witness stand in a court of law, swear by the Bible that they will tell the whole truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And then they lie right through their teeth because they want to protect their own skin or somebody else's skin. In January of 1998, this question was asked to then President Bill Clinton while he was under oath. The question was this, and I quote, "And so the record is completely clear. Have you ever had sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky, as that term is defined in Deposition Exhibit 1 as modified by the court?" End of quote, end of question. Mr. Clinton's response was this, and I quote, "I have never had sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky. I've never had an affair with her," end quote. I am sure that Bill Clinton is not the only governing official who has lied while under oath. If you have ever watched an episode of Law and Order, you see where people lie under oath all the time. Are they fictional stories? They say they are fictional stories, but these stories are representations of reality. And the reality is this, my friends, people lie because they want to save their own skin in some way, shape, or form. What Jesus says, that swearing and then breaking an oath, comes from the evil one. Well, who is the evil one? We all know who the evil one is. Satan, the devil. Jesus says this in John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, and because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus says that the devil, that Satan, is the father of what? The father of lies. And liars break oaths. Matthew 12:34. Jesus says this to the religious leaders of his time. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. If your heart is full of lies, there's a good chance that you are going to speak an oath or swear an oath that you will never be able to keep. Let's get back to that line that I used earlier. I swear on a stack of Bibles that I did not eat that last piece of fried chicken. That's not a good thing for me to say. And I better not say it if I really don't mean it. Why? Because I am swearing in the name of the Lord. And we don't want to do that. The verse, back up here one last time. What's the solution? It's so simple. Let your yes be a yes. Let your no be a no. Be a man of your word. Be a woman of your word. And quit swearing in the name of the Lord.